everyone, and welcome to this episode of Apartment Investing for Early Retirement. Today's guest is Josh Rusin. After turning the first home he purchased into a rental when moving across the country, Josh saw the power of cash-owing assets. To further get his foot in the door, he joined up with one of the nation's largest real estate investing education companies, where he became passionate about helping others while furthering his own investing career. After realizing the power of multifamily, he joined the Jake and Gino team to grow his portfolio in multifamily while expanding the Jake and Gino community. Currently, Josh owns 328 units and is the community director for Jake and Gino. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Derek.
Why don't we just jump right in and have you share a little bit of your background, your story, kind of what's gotten you to this point, and then we'll expand from there.
Yeah, so let's start with kind of who I am and where I'm at today, and then we'll talk about how I got to where I'm at today. So the name again, Josh Rusin. I'm 30 years old. I currently have 328 units in my portfolio with partners, of course. It's about 20 million in assets under management. And I work with my mentors. So currently I play the role of community director at Jake and Gino. And these are the guys that I've learned a lot of my multifamily real estate education from. So obviously I didn't start like that. I wasn't born into apartments, nor was I born with any units. So if we want to backtrack, my journey in entrepreneurship starts when I was in eighth grade. I have an aunt who's in real estate. She's done very well all her life. And she gave me the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. Now, eighth grade, you're pretty young. It was a good book. I read it and I was definitely excited, but it more planted a seed. And I wasn't going to quit school, go in and make a business at that time. But it did plant a seed that later would grow into kind of where I am today. From there, I go to high school and I get really into working out and biology. And so I decide I want to be a doctor, right? It's a career that embraces health. I loved learning that kind of stuff, the sciences. So I go to undergrad and the next step is I get a pre-professional biology degree and a chemistry minor. And wanting to go to medical school, as you know, you have to get experience in the field. So I'm working for an orthopedic surgeon. And one day this guy comes home and he's like, "Don't do it. You're crazy. I wouldn't let my kids do it." And I'm just super confused. Like, this guy has a really awesome life, especially, you know, I grew up with a very middle-class background and nothing's wrong with that. But to me, this guy was very successful. So I'm like, what is he talking about? Did he have a bad day? So the conversation goes on a little further and he's like, "Look, you know, in the 90s, I used to make 7 figures a year." He's like, "Now I'm lucky if I make half that." And so I'm over here thinking, this guy's complaining about making $500,000 a year. Like, what a problem to have. I would love to have that same problem. And so as we're going through it, he's like, "No, you don't get it." And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, "How much debt do you have from undergrad?" At the time I had about 70,000. So this is actually my year before my senior year. I was actually studying for the MCAT. And he's like, "Look, you're going to take out more debt for undergrad. You're going to take out probably at least 50,000 a year for medical school. All your loans are going to accrue interest throughout this time. And then they're going to continue to grow throughout residency and fellowship." He's like, "You're going to graduate probably about 30 years old, be an attending physician, and you're going to have about $500,000 in debt." And I was like, "Okay, but if you make good money, you can pay it off." And he's like, "No, you don't get it. I predict by that time, which is I'm 30 now, physician reimbursements will be between $100,000 to $200,000 a year." And he's like, "You're going to have to live in a one bedroom apartment for a decade just to get out from under that debt." So that scared me. That was, you know, picture and imagining my life being 40 years old and really just starting to live life. You know, although I was passionate about being a physician, I realized my passion didn't have to be my profession. And so I'm like, "All right, what do I do?" Right? I was like, curl up in a ball and say, "I'm not going to do anything." And a biology degree wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go as an alternative for different careers. So he's like, "Go into business. I make more money from my investments than I do being a doctor." And so I moved home and I had very limited resources at the time. I just graduated college and I was looking into what different professions could I get into. I move home and I'm looking at with the resources I have, what can I do? And so a few things that came across my mind, I was like, I want to do a car detailing place. I've always been very passionate about it. It's something I love taking care of the stuff I have. You know, I could do that and help others. And then I knew a guy, actually I worked out at a really nice athletic club, and he did very well in the home healthcare center. And so I kind of picked his brain about it. And he's like, hey, we're seeing the silver tsunami and the aging population. It's definitely something to get into. So I was like, all right, cool. I can absolutely do that. So I tried starting a home healthcare company. 6 months in, I went to Panera every day, and then I would go to that and Starbucks. I had a website, I had business cards, I had brochures, LLCs, Google Voice number, you name it, but I hadn't generated a penny in revenue. So I, at that time, didn't know the difference between activity and accomplishment. I just thought, you know, me taking these actions was going to get me the results I wanted, but I wasn't taking the right actions in the right order to produce results. I was more just spinning my wheels. So my parents, being very W-2 mindset, they're like, look, Josh, this isn't working. You know, this is a pipe dream. You got to get a job or we're going to kick you out. So I'm like, oh man, things are going from bad to worse, right? At this point, I literally have less than $1,000 to my name. I'm driving it at 04 Impala SS with 250,000 miles on it. And I'm just like, oh man. And it's in Michigan, right? So 6 months after I graduate, you know, we're coming on the winter here. So it's about November, and I'm just like, I got to do something, but my back's up against the wall. So we go to Thanksgiving at my aunt's house, the same one who gave me the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in my family and sphere, she's definitely one of the more successful people. So you're looking around and saying, all right, cool. How do I do this? So she's like, Josh, you know, you should consider getting in real estate. And at the time, I'm like, I can't go to my parents with another entrepreneurial pursuit. There's no way they're going to buy into this. So I was like, all right, what do I do? So I definitely planted a seed. I'm like, how do I get into real estate? And I end up finding a real estate investing education company in the single family home side in San Diego. And they encourage entrepreneurship. So being an entrepreneur, that's what they teach. So I'm like, all right, I get to leave Michigan, move to a super awesome city where the weather's beautiful and there's great culture. And I'm going to have a job, income coming in while I'm learning how to build my business. I was like, couldn't be a better situation than this. I take the leap, go to work for them. And in full transparency, I've never done a fix and flip. I've never done a wholesale. Instead, what I did do was I fully embraced the culture there, and I ended up growing and scaling the corporate ladder. And it was good. I did very well. I ended up being able to make a very strong income from there. But what I learned was at the end of it, I was climbing the wrong ladder. So I had a point where I was at a ceiling financially. So being in your mid-20s and not having a clear path for promotions was very scary. I was working 65, 70 plus hours a week. So high stress, high pressure job. I just was at a point where I couldn't really trade any more time for any money. And in California is a very high tax, expensive cost of living state. So the wealth creation through saving money up and then buying single family rentals was just a lot slower than I could tolerate. So at that time, I'm looking, all right, what could we do best? So a good friend of mine, at the time we were working together, it was like, well, let's do sales training. We were in a sales role there. Let's create a sales training business. So what we've learned is success leaves clues. Don't reinvent the wheel. So he went to one of the most successful people we knew in sales training, Grant Cardone, and he paid him $7,500 for 1 hour one-on-one with Grant. So flies to San Diego or flies to Miami from San Diego, sits down with Grant, and Grant's like, hey, son, when I was your age, I wish I would have gotten a multifamily real estate investing instead of sales training. I'd be a billionaire instead of a millionaire. The only question is how many times over. Now, for those of you that know Grant Cardone, he's a very bold dude, but he's got results and credibility to back it up. He's got a 9-figure net worth. So, you know, it kind of gets us all wide-eyed of like, all right, maybe we should check out this multifamily investing thing. So Dylan, my buddy, flies back to San Diego, and then we sit down with the owner of the company we were at in San Diego. And independently, he says the same thing. I wish I would have skipped residential and went straight to commercial. So now we have 2 9-figure net worth individuals telling that this is the route to go, multifamily real estate investing. And at that point, we became consuming all the knowledge we could. We started reading books, podcasts, various YouTube videos. And along the journey, my boss's boss had Jake and Gino's book on their desk. And so if it was good enough for him, it was good enough for me. We got the book, read it. And my buddy, after he read it, he actually reached out to Jake and Gino. I was like, hey guys, look, I'm in real estate education right now. I'm going to help you grow and scale your real estate investing education company if you teach me how to invest in apartments. And they turned him down. They're like, we're not really looking at taking someone on. And my buddy, being so committed to getting into multifamily, quits his job in San Diego and moves to Atlanta, a much better city for multifamily investing, and goes full-time in multifamily real estate. Now, as that's happening, these guys call back, Jake and Gino, and they're like, hey, actually, we're looking at taking someone on. Are you still available? And he's like, ah, I can't do it, but I know someone who'd be a good fit. So he puts him in touch with me. And at that point, it was a real crossroads in my life. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, do I take the leap? I have something that's very established here. You know, I definitely going to take, you know, some sort of financial haircut taking the leap over here. But at the same time, the certainty of outcome staying where I was at was scarier than taking a chance to learn how to build my business and have assets that work for me and hit my goals much quicker. So fast forward to March 6th of 2018, I made the leap to work with these guys. Been with them about 2 years. And really what we've been able to do is through surrounding myself with like-minded individuals, through learning from people that are doing it in the industry, create results and help crush it. And that's, you know, Derek, how you and I have been able to connect as well through the community.
Yeah. And that was really something that, that I lacked, where I was. It's one of those things where you just drink from the fire hose or even the fire hydrant. There's just absolutely no direction. There's so much out there. And once you get around the right group, it can really propel your path towards success. And, you know, with you, you made a couple of uncomfortable moves that have led to a point where it's, you know, you can really see it like the hockey stick. You know, it's a little bit slower at first and you're jumping right up. But, you know, to touch on that importance of the community and, you know, within that a mindset for collaboration, I think, you know, for a lot of people that do listen to this show, you know, they might be in single family duplexes looking to scale up and they've been doing stuff on their own, or new investors that are looking to skip the step because it was really ingrained, you know, in my mind too, that you had to start with single families and duplex, eventually get some fours, some eights, and over time build up and get some mid-sized to larger apartment complexes. You know, what would really be your suggestion for those that are looking to either skip the single and duplex or transition up from that? What would you recommend that they do, especially in the time that we have right now where it's a little unusual, everything seems to be virtual, but what would you say are some next steps for them?
Yeah, so you bring up a good point. Let's talk about the mindset of it first, and then we'll talk about actionable steps they can take. So when I first got into multifamily real estate, one thing I really learned is that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it with single family, let's say you're wholesaling, you might be able to get a deal pretty quickly. It's very realistic. It could take a year to get your first deal. My mentors took 18 months to get theirs. So that's not an easy journey to go that long without having results. So with that, when I first decided to get into real estate, you know, a lot of my friends and even family were like, real estate's risky, debt's risky, you're crazy, what are you doing? And it's not that they didn't want to see me succeed. People rationalize things they don't understand by fearing them, right? Because they didn't have the knowledge. And so with that, when you're able to surround yourself with those that are like-minded, they're learning from the same systems and tools and on the same path, it really is able to accelerate your results and make this normal. And honestly, a lot of it comes out to, you know, someone finds a deal and you're able to bring a priest to it, or, you know, you realize the journey you're on, you're not alone and people are going through the challenges. And then the flip side of that is you see their people are making it. So you're like, all right, if I can just hold on and keep pushing, I know the juice is worth the squeeze. So I definitely think that it's a very big thing to surround yourself with those that are doing what you're looking to do. And then also the flip side of it too, is if I look at some of my more successful friends, even back home, they may have jobs where they have strong six-figure incomes. However, what they're doing is their lifestyle has creeped up to their income level. They're not buying these assets to start producing cash flow for them. And so it's a much different mindset. It's a few years of sacrifice and discipline to live your life like no one else can. So if I were to do this and I were to say, hey, I'm starting over, how am I going to surround myself with like-minded individuals? The easiest one is I would really join different Facebook groups on Facebook. You're going to have that, start connecting with people. Threads like BiggerPockets are great. You know, however, on the flip side of that, let's talk about, you know, that's a pro, but let's talk about some of the cons. So we are in the information age, and you brought that up. And you know, the internet gives everyone a voice, which is a good thing. You just want to make sure you're learning from those that have the results that you want and have been able to replicate it with other people, right? Because opinions are very common and you just don't want to make sure you take the wrong advice. You know, from there, what I'd really recommend, and my biggest key to success, is to get a mentor and join a group. There are a lot of groups out there. It's going to accelerate your results. And if you want to look at it from that perspective, time is our most valuable asset. So if you can get there in 3 years instead of five, you know, 2 years of your life are incredibly valuable.
Yeah. To touch on that for, you know, the timing of it to get there, for a lot of people, you know, to get their first deal, you obviously see, get to interact with a lot of individuals being the community director for Jake and Gino. How long would you say on average it takes for people to take down their first multifamily deal?
You know, that's a great question. If I had to put an average to it, I would say about a year, but there's students that happen a lot sooner and there's students that take a little bit longer. Now, what I think would be a good point of discussion is what can you do to shorten that time length? And the first thing I think is getting educated, right? So if you look back to my business and my story, when I first started in home healthcare, again, I went 6 months without generating a penny because I was just trying to piece information together. And while those were good actionable steps, they weren't the right steps in the right order to get results the quickest. From there, it's not getting stuck in information mode, right? You can have someone who's the smartest person in the world and knows how to do it, but without implementation, results aren't just going to manifest. So you got to make sure you're doing that. You know, and the next piece I would really focus on is having a mindset where you're falling in love with your actions and knowing the results will come. So a good example of this, let's say I want to get shredded and my goal is within 6 months, I want to be at 8% body fat and just have a really defined six pack. Well, if 6 months and one day comes and I'm not there, it's easy for me to throw in the towel and say, oh, it wasn't worth it. But if my goal instead is every week, I'm going to hit the gym 5 days, I'm going to go out and run 3 days a week, I'm only going to have one cheat meal and eat clean, I know it's not if I'm going to get shredded, and whether it takes 4 months or 8 months, it's going to happen, it's when. So fall in love with the actions and the results will come. And you just got to know that the juice is worth the squeeze and you're on your way.
And it's, you know, really to break it down into actionable steps rather than, hey, my goal is to have 100 units in a year from now. Okay, well, how do you go about that? What do you need to do to set the pieces in place to be able to achieve that? You know, if you're just going to sit there and wait and hope that magically falls into your lap, well, that's not going to happen, you know, but getting out of your comfort zone, going to events. Well, granted, right now we can't really go to live events, but attend webinars and then follow up with people from that, you know, just to get in touch with as many people as possible, because for a lot of multifamily, you know, you can't really do it alone. And I don't personally, even if I could, I would still want to partner with someone because it's just, there's so many pieces to it. And it is truly buying a business that, you know, just to have those checks on stuff, another set of eyes, and to have the right partner, not just anyone that you pick off the street, but the right team around you. And, you know, going with that, you know, for people just in general that are looking to scale up with multifamily, is what is the, you know, having the importance of the teams. You know, you got, you know, more of the seek to serve rather than the pay to play aspect. You know, to be able to learn there, but you have 328 units through partnerships. You know, how do you really value the partnerships and to be able to find the right team? What do you think are really the most important steps for that?
So Derek, great question. You know, you asked, how would I go out and look at and evaluate different partnerships and how do I value them? First, you want to make sure that like when you're getting into a deal, right? You evaluate the sponsor and then you evaluate the deal. So I want to make sure that that partner has similar goals and a similar mindset. This way we have the same end game with these deals. For example, let's say you and I want to do a deal together, but you wanted to refi and roll and I wanted to sell out after we've done all the value add, it probably wouldn't be the best fit, right? We have different goals for what we're looking to do with our portfolio. And then at the same time, you want to make sure they have similar ethics and integrity, right? You want to make sure that they're honest and you can trust them and they're going to do what they say they're going to. I think a very big portion of that as well. From there, I'd make sure that there's opposing skill sets. So a good example of that is, let's say I'm strong in underwriting and deal sourcing, and you're very strong in capital raising. We could potentially work together because we're stronger together and have opposing skill sets. So those are some of the things I look for. And honestly, that seek to serve mindset that you brought up as well is, I find it always comes back to you. So if you can add value to anyone in any way, just give, it's a go-giver mindset. That's gotten me really far in my life as well.
And it's really just finding the right piece, because getting into a bad partnership can really ruin your whole, ruin the taste for multifamily. It can make you think that it's not always going to be a bad experience. But having the right partnership, you know, you look at Jake and Gino, how much that has taken off. And of course they had another partner in that, but you know, to build up to where they're at today, it was the right partnership. They didn't just jump into it. They had, you know, kind of known each other for a little while and eventually got to that point. But, you know, it is a team sport, and having the right team can lead to, you know, tremendous success. Having the wrong team, and yeah, I think a lot of it comes to the values. In a podcast that I recorded the other day, talked about, you know, if you're super honest, you're straightforward, and someone else is, well, I'll just kind of wing it, you know, little white lies, and be able to work it out in the end, that's not going to work out. You know, you need to be on the same page. But, you know, to kind of build off that, how, for people right now that are looking, you know, to get into it and are looking to build out that team, what would you say is the most important step that they can take right now? I know we touched, you know, earlier on about, if you're starting out, just getting into Facebook groups and, you know, kind of gain some interaction there. But really, if you would go back and you were starting out right now, what is the one thing that you're going to do to start, you know, kind of building out those teams, more so than just a partnership, but also, you know, within the target market that you're looking for? What is your action plan? What's Josh's action plan?
They're a great question. So when you look at it, right, we talked about getting other investors and partners, but as you said, it is a team sport. So you're going to need brokers. You're going to need relationships with bankers. You're going to need property management and all these various pieces. So the most important and first ones I would act on is, I would start creating relationships with brokers in the market you're looking to invest in, right? Those are the ones that are going to help get you the deals. From there, I would start vetting different bankers. So I would have someone on the agency side who can do Freddie and Fannie loans, a broker like that. I would start creating relationships with community banks. When you find the deal, you have all these there. I would start having relationships with investors. So when you have a deal, you can raise the capital. And then I would start screening and vetting third-party property management in that area, assuming you're not going to self-manage. So this way, when you have the deal, all the other pieces that are there align and you're able to hit the ground running.
Great. And again, you know, it's just setting in those plans. First step, next step, next step. And then eventually the deals will come. The deals will then come together, and you'll be able to get that step in the door and build off of it. So, you know, last thing before we have a few wrap-up questions is, for you, with where we're at right now in the whole COVID-19 shutdown, what are your next steps for kind of moving forward, how you're going to be successful in multifamily investing?
Love it. Okay. So here's what I think it is. When there's a really choppy sea, you need to be a skilled sailor to navigate it, right? So obviously there's a lot going on. There's a lot of fear. So what I'm doing is focusing on learning more creative financing strategies. So master lease options, loan assumptions, seller financing, because you're going to see a resurgence in these. And also making sure I'm prepared to pounce on opportunity when I see it. So getting in front of brokers and really knowing that millionaires are made in recessions, and this is where you can pick up assets at a discount, but you got to buy the right assets and make sure we're not catching a falling knife. So I'm focusing on sourcing deals, learning creative financing so that when those opportunities present themselves, I'm prepared, and then making sure that I'm able to act on them with the right partners.
The opportunities are going to come, and it's just making sure that you have the pieces in place so that you can capitalize on it. We don't wish for people to be upside down and be at risk of losing their properties and be forced to sell. But the reality is, it's going to happen. So why not be able to help them out by being able to buy it? And creative financing can really help that. So yeah, I think that's great, is learning more ways to put some deals together so you don't just only have one tool in the tool belt to get it done, you know, expand on that.
Eric, you bring up a good point there really quick. So you're right. There are people that put themselves in a bad situation, and that's the importance of getting educated on the front end, right? And I'll give you examples of that. You know, before this, with every deal we were getting in, knowing where we're at in the market cycle, we had long-term fixed rate debt. So no bridge loans, things like that. People who did that in order to try to make a deal work, you know, these loans may possibly come due during the downturn. And those are the ones that are going to get hurt. So this is one, even like you mentioned in partnerships, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure here. So it's very important to get educated and make sure you're making the right decisions, have the right partners.
And it's, you know, especially true for what's happening right now is, and to touch on that point, is buying right, financing right, and managing right. You know, that's a Jake and Gino framework. And, but it's so true is, people that can't manage their properties right now are not having a good time, and we're going to see what May 1st brings. You know, April seemed to be a little bit higher than expected for a lot of people, but for others it was a lot lower. But you know, I think May 1st is really going to be the challenging time. But buying right, if you overpaid for it, and if you got the wrong debt on it, you know, so it's really, again, knowing where you're at in the market. Like, no one could have foreseen exactly what was going to happen here, but that's why you just have to be prepared. You buy it right. You have your management in place. You have the right financing. So it gives you more flexibility, and you have that right team. And it really helps to mitigate that risk. Awesome episode. We're going to just wrap up with a few quick questions, and then we'll carry on with our day and take some more action to work towards the next deal. So, what does retirement mean to you?
Oh man, great question. So it's doing what I want with who I want, when I want. So a lot of my happiness is derived from my discipline and dedication to my goals. So I seek challenge. I seek opportunity. I seek impact on other people's lives. And so at that point, it's coming from a place of confidence, working because I want to, not because I have to.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, you know, when you ask that question, the more they think about it, it's not so much having a certain amount of money. It's having the freedom. Now, money does allow you to have freedom, but, you know, it's really digging into what those goals are, and you don't have to retire at 65 or 60 or 50. You take the steps now, and getting into the right investments and the right vehicles are going to be able to provide you that lifestyle that you desire. So it's great. And, you know, I know kind of touched, had a couple people say that, you know, I wish I had gotten into multifamily earlier, you know, so that kind of the events there. But was there perhaps a book besides Rich Dad, Poor Dad that really changed your mindset, that made you take that action to get into multifamily investing?
Okay. As far as multifamily, the first few books I read were Emerging Markets and Multifamily Millions, both by Dave Lindahl. And then obviously finding Jake and Gino's book, Liberal Profits, was very instrumental. If I wouldn't have found that book, I wouldn't be here today with the guys. So that one definitely changed the trajectory of my life.
Nice. And what do you do? You know, how do you like to give back?
Yeah. So here's what I love. I wish at a younger age, I would have met someone like myself, right? Because the traditional route is go to school to get a job to save for retirement. And that system isn't getting people where they need to be. So it's like, if I would have at a younger age met someone like me and known about opportunities like this, I truly believe I'd be even further along than where I am now in life. So actually, you know, one of the students that we're working with, I'm mentoring their 18-year-old son, and just spending time with him, because I think it's so cool that he has so much potential. And if you fast forward to when he's my age, 12 years from now at 30, he could be way past where I am. And so that excites me of impacting today's youth. And that's really where I want to give back and help the most.
Yeah, I think that's great, you know, to be able to help that next generation skip the disappointment potential. You know, some people love their jobs, absolutely love it, and that is fantastic. But to be stuck in an office for 40 hours a week and, you know, have to do that for 40 years, that's not something that interests me. But, you know, so if you can help change that mindset, so there's, hey, there's a different path that you can take. It doesn't mean you have to, but hey, there's opportunity here if you want to capitalize on it. And if they do, that's fantastic, because then how many people do they tell? How many people do they help? And can we make people just in general happier, more, you know, their finances are better. They're able to enjoy life. They're able to spend more time with their family or giving back, doing what they love, you know, and just one step at a time, one person at a time, you know, pass along the knowledge that you have and potentially change many, many lives. So I think that's awesome, you know, really focusing on that next generation. So, and lastly, how can listeners find out more about you or get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'll give you a few different ways. So my email is josh@jakeandgino.com, Jake, A-N-D, and then Gino, G-I-N-O.com. My phone number, if you want to reach out, 865-320-0655, or feel free to add me on Instagram. So it's jrosen23, so J-R-O-O-S-E-N-23. Looking forward to connecting and really adding value in any way I can as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I know you're always full of value to give. You're always helping me out as soon as I shoot you an email or a text, you always get a response back quick. And looking to help put the pieces in place to help others. And again, when you take care of other people, it comes back to you. So that's certainly a testament to that. So really appreciate the time you took today. Know you're a busy man. So pack this episode full of some great knowledge for our listeners, and I'm sure they will really appreciate it as well.
Thanks, Derek. I appreciate you.
Take care. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Apartment Investing for Early Retirement. Please be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on Facebook and Instagram. The links will be in the show notes. And if you enjoy the show, please be sure to share it out on social media so that we can reach more and more people to help educate them about the opportunity that multifamily investing provides to help reach their version of retirement sooner than later. Take care, everyone.